In this sermon this afternoon, we'll consider paying fair. Please give your attention to the reading of God's holy and inspired word in Jonah chapter 1, verse 3. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. We are encouraged in the reading of God's word from Isaiah chapter 55. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Our prayer is that God would bless the reading, the hearing, and the application of His perfect and holy word. Amen. Well, the 2 years of 1664 and 1665 were a time of particular sadness and suffering in the city of London. These were the years of the Great Plague, where over 100,000 people died from the ravaging effects of this disease that devastated this great and ancient city. Try to wrap your brain around that. 100,000 people died. In these plagues, families were decimated, the poor were made to be even poorer, the markets were empty, the king and his family packed up and moved away. Well, in 1669, just a few years later, Ralph Vining published a book about the dangers of sin. And the title of the book is really one that stands out to us. He called the title of the book, remember, this is just 4 years after the Great Plague where 100,000 people died. Ralph Vining entitled his book, Sin, the Plague of Plagues. Now, that's a title that would catch your attention at the bookstore. There was no person in London who was untouched by that epidemic. And so this work then builds upon that great suffering of those plagues to show how much more devastating of a thing that sin is. And today we go to buy a copy of that book, and it's called The Sinfulness of Sin. So the plague of plagues is a little lost on us, but at the time that was a devastating title and one that caught your attention. Well, this is where we find ourselves today with the prophet Jonah. He's caught in a downward spiral of sin, a dark journey, and one that reveals to us the progressive nature of sin and the sinfulness of sin. And though it's a dark process to observe in our text, one that's difficult to preach on, it's really a necessary process for the Christian to see in the Word of God. In fact, our God really is quite gracious to give us this account in His Word, along with the others in His Word, to teach us about sin and what happens when man chooses to act in a way that is defiant against God. Now, the book of Jonah is just one of the accounts of the suffering that comes as a result of sin. And it's particularly important to us because we think and honestly, truly believe that Jonah is a Christian. He is a child of God. This is not someone like Saul warring against God, and we don't come away with the scriptures with an idea that Saul was a Christian. Jonah is. And so there's a different approach that we take when we read this book of the Bible. The book of Jonah is just one of those accounts. all through the Word of God, we see many detailed descriptions of God's people openly defying the commandments of God. This is a central theme of the Scriptures. From the beginning to the end is the defiance of God's people. Well, here in our text, we see how wonderfully gracious and long-suffering that our God is in those times of rebellion. Skipping ahead to several chapters, is God going to leave Jonah to run away from him in a ship to Tarshish? No, there's a plan to bring Jonah back to himself. That's the redemption and the grace that is shown to us by our God. In fact, in our particular chapter here, in our verse that we're looking at, verse 3, we see how gracious that God is to reveal to you and I the details about how destructive that sin actually is. And for you and I, again, focusing today on paying the fare, look how gracious that God is to show us these progressive, destructive steps of sin. And I think we should take time to meditate on these steps and to see how destructive that they truly are. Well, Ralph Vinning's book that I mentioned to you earlier, it helps us to see how one sin leads to another, and then to another, and then to another. That's what we're seeing here in these, just the third verse of the first chapter of Jonah. Ralph Vinning, he's speaking about the sins of omission. He says one omission makes way for another. He who, under pretense of unfitness for duty, puts it off, makes himself fit for nothing more than to omit again. He prepares and fits himself to be unfit for duty, and so to omit duty. So he who omits one duty is likely to omit another, and then another, until he omits all, and gives up his very profession. And when that is gone, the man's religion dies and he becomes twice dead. Omissions make way for commissions. As in the case of our first parents, sin advances by degrees. It seems modest at first. Just omit. This, it grows bold, and then it bids you to commit. And so from omission to commission, until at last the man becomes a man of sin and a son of perdition, a hopeless, desperate, lost and undone man. The more knowledge of any duty that we have, the more clear it is, and the more we are convinced of it, the more aggravated is the omission of that duty. So many truths there in Vinning's statement. The more knowledge we have of any duty, the more clear it is, the more convinced we are of it, the more aggravated is the omission of that duty. So much wisdom there. Well, last week we began to see the first step of Jonah's sin. And we noted that Jonah's sin began with his thought. He had already determined that he would disobey God. And then he rises up. And the rising up then is that first outward response of Jonah in the steps of sin. Every man rises up. Every man must, by necessity, respond to the commandments of God. Our text says that Jonah arose. We noted that there is no neutrality when it comes to responding to God's commands. Everyone is required to pay attention to God. There's no pretending that his authority is optional. And when Jonah should be rising up to obedience, he runs in the opposite direction. Now, the second step of Jonah's sin was that he ran from God. Jonah arose to flee. Believers and unbelievers alike are guilty of fleeing from God. In fact, a man sitting in a pew in a church can be running away from God. Jonah was running away from what God had commanded. He runs from the things that remind him of his duty to God. He runs from his responsibility. And in the running, we noted that There's great grief that comes from our being apart from the means of grace. For the Christian, running from God often means being outside of the church. And I think that's what we ought to see with Jonah. He's obviously running away from the means of grace. Well, the third step, we're working our way up to the fifth step. So let's review just a bit. The third step so far that we saw with Jonah was when he arrives in Joppa. Now, Joppa represents that halfway point in getting to Tarshish. We have to see, though, it's a long way from Joppa to Tarshish on a map. It's several thousand miles, in fact. But Joppa represents to us that gateway. Joppa is the checkpoint that we have to go through to get to Tarshish. But for all of us, there's a midway point that we find to be more comfortable. This is the danger of Joppa. Is sometimes we as Christians, we think we can dwell in the land of Joppa, even though it isn't Tarshish. And we find some comfort there, and we deceive ourselves to think that to be on the border of God's law is somehow a better place to be. We often think of it like this, that we're going halfway is not as bad as going all the way. And we think that that's the way that God governs our obedience to His law, and that is not true. Joppa, we noted, was filled with negative opportunities. Here is where the ship is docked. And that will help to bring much more trouble in the life of Jonah. Well, that's the fourth step, is the ship itself. Jonah finds something in Joppa that takes him further from God faster than ever before. We all have these types of things in our lives. They are the means that take us from God. Now, if we want them, we noted, we'll find them. We search for them. If we want to stray from God, we'll find Joppa and we'll find the ship. The means that we seek will always be there before us. Satan makes sure of that. And God providentially lays out the path for us as well, as we noted with Jonah. Anytime that we're in a place we're not supposed to be, Satan will fill that place with deceptions to draw us in further and further away from service to our God. Now, I think there is one point that I wanted to notice in the narrative. I don't think that I mentioned it last time, but on the map, in order to get from Jonah's house to Nineveh, it's all on land. You'd never get on a ship. It's interesting to note that to go to Tarshish, you can't get there unless you go by ship, at least in Jonah's day. So it is interesting to note that obedience to God would have brought Jonah nowhere, anywhere near a ship. So interesting to note. Now today, we do come to somberly consider the fifth step in Jonah's sin. It's so clearly recorded for us in the richness of verse 3. Step by step, the dominoes have fallen. They've been taken. Each step has produced its own misery and its own consequences. The fifth step of Jonah's sin is paying the fare. Now let's consider the circumstances as we come to this step. I want us to try as much as we can to get inside the mind of Jonah and what Jonah is thinking. Now, in our text, what has happened, and this happens in the reading of God's Word, because this is what's recorded for us, but in just a few words, we've actually gone over a long period of time. We've actually gone over a long distance of land. A certain time has passed in the story. Just in a few words, Jonah has now progressed from his home when he rose up. Well, he's progressed now to the coastal city of Joppa when he pays the fare. Now, that's about a day's journey on foot. So, if you were an adventurous Hebrew at the time and you had business in Joppa, it was a pretty long trip by foot. It took at least a day. So when we come to see that Jonah pays the fare, I think it is good and proper for us to see that Jonah is weary from travel. He's tired. Jonah is frustrated with his career. Obviously, being a preacher isn't taking him to the places that he wants to go. And he doesn't feel called to the first RP church of Nineveh. It's not the place he wants to be. Well, God was trying to make him, from his perspective, to go to the worst place on earth. And he's frustrated with the plan of God. And we'll see that much more as we go through this book. It is amazing to note how the sovereignty of God can be such a frustrating doctrine for the Christian who wants to control the world. But for the Christian who knows that God is in control, the sovereignty of God is a comforting doctrine. But when Jonah is asked to do something that he doesn't understand, he finds no comfort in God's sovereignty. And for Jonah, we can see that God had called him to do something that was unexpected, that was very difficult. We'd spent some time on that before. But Jonah thinks it's unreasonable. And we perceive it goes beyond frustration into anger and outward rebellion in our text. Now the question that I have for you today, as a Christian looking at this text, is, do these descriptions sound familiar to you today? I mean, who among us hasn't thrown up our hands in frustration at the plan of God? Who among us has never questioned God? And who among us has never complained to God that our lot in life isn't fair? Why am I here? And how did I get down this path to be where I am today? I mean, for instance, in our text, it's so very important for us to know Jonah at this moment of his life. Because it is at this moment, here's what I want you to see, is at this moment where Jonah is frustrated with the plan of God, where Jonah is tired, Jonah is weary, and Jonah's not at the top of his game, Jonah makes a very bad decision. Now, I guess that many times in our own lives, our worst decisions are not made on our best day. It's usually when life is crazy that we do crazy things. Let's connect with Jonah here. Let's bond with him. Let's share in the weariness of that day's journey to Joppa. And he's had just enough time to think through what he's doing and to talk himself into how brilliant this plan is to go to Tarshish instead of Nineveh. Jonah's frustrated with the plan of God. Maybe you would say that today. Maybe you would say, well, so am I. I'm also frustrated with the plan of God. Jonah questioned God's decrees for his life. Maybe you would say that today as well. I question why I'm where I am. Think about the process with Jonah. Tired and confused and maybe one last ounce of energy in his body. And this is what I want you to see today. That's when Jonah reaches into his pocket and pulls out the money to pay the fare to take himself farther from God. He begins to take the final and decisive steps to secure his rebellion from God. Now, there are times for you and I, maybe we've gotten to Joppa, but maybe we've had a chance to rest and refresh. Maybe we get our wits back about us, our spiritual life enhanced, and we look around and we realize, I'm in Joppa. Why am I here? And we go back to where we're supposed to be. And at that point, when our mind is back about us, when our spirit is there, maybe we're exposed to the means of grace, we wouldn't reach into our pocket and pay the fare. There's something that's happened at this point to where Jonah is taking another step. And I want you to see, it's different than the step of Joppa itself. We go to Joppa, pay the fare, find the ship, get on the ship, travel to Tarshish. There are steps in our rebellion to God. And one of the things we want to notice today then is that being in Joppa and having the opportunity now to pay the fare, this is actually a final opportunity for repentance. What if Jonah at this point had decided, this fare is way more than I want to pay. Maybe I should go back to the road to Nineveh. We could even say the same for Joppa itself. Not only does Joppa represent the halfway point in sin, but Joppa also represents a final opportunity for the Christian to repent. You see, it's not all negative when we see these steps of sin. Every step of sin is a chance to repent. Because we can repent before we take the next step. Now, what's the truth we learn from our text? That's unlikely. It's unlikely the more we descend into that spiral of sin that we will repent. That's a truth we gather from God's Word. This is Jonah's. I want you to take notice here. This particular phrase that he pays the fare is Jonah's last opportunity to turn back. It's his last opportunity to turn back home. Now what happens after he pays the fare? He'll be on the ship. And so being on the ship will create difficult circumstances to turn back. This is Jonah's last chance. This is Jonah's last chance to repent. Christian, maybe today, sitting in the comfort of our church, under the preaching of the Word of God on this, the holy day of the Lord, maybe your heart is in Joppa. Maybe you're close to paying the fare. Maybe your hand's in your pocket. The money's there. You're ready to pay that price for sin. See this as an opportunity to repent and to return to the Lord. We don't have to pay the fare. The fare, in fact, represents the cost of sin. We could see it as the cost of admission. That's what a fare is. When Jonah pays the fare, there's a cost involved in the physical sense. Now, I have no idea how much it costs to go from Tarshish or from Joppa to Tarshish. It's a long way, I can tell you. If you look on a map, it's over 2,500 miles by sea. We don't know how much that journey cost for Jonah. It had to be a lot. But we do know that it cost them a great deal more than the fare itself. And looking at our text today, it's certainly appropriate that we consider how much sin costs. How much does sin cost? Donald Barnhouse has an interesting way of looking at how much sin costs. He says, it's always this way. When you run away from the Lord, you never get where you're going, and you always pay your own fare. On the other hand, when you go to the Lord's way, you always get where you're going, and He pays the fare. Now that's a very real truth in that statement, and one, as we come to the end today, you'll see how that works itself out. There's an interesting thing to note here in the Hebrew word for fare. The Hebrew word for fare is actually the same word that's commonly used for wages, for reward. What you paid, are paid for your efforts or your labors. Jonah pays the wages of the men who will sail the ship. When we're looking today at the cost of sin, and that should trigger some bells and whistles in your mind as we're talking about wages and cost. Where would we go in the New Testament to read about wages and to read about how much sin costs? We would go to Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Another passage that's connected with this word, wages, fare, or reward. Wages, fare, or reward is Genesis 15. The same Hebrew word is used there in Genesis 15. God is speaking with Abraham, and God says, "Fear not, Abram, for I am thy shield and thy exceedingly great reward." It's the same kind of principle there. There's something of a particular value that is spoken of in our text. There is a wage to sin. There is a cost to sin. The same word conveys the idea of a fare, wages, and reward. So as Jonah is holding that money in his hand and he's getting ready to pay the fare, when we read in the text, we have to read it almost in slow motion. read the text in slow motion and understand what is happening. Jonah is paying the outward cost of sin. Something that's very symbolic for us to see today, because there is a hidden cost to sin. Not only was there a fare for Jonah to arrive in Tarshish, but there's also a cost of his sin. Now, what are some of the ways that you and I pay the fare to Tarshish in our lives? It's a good visual aid, I think. It's very helpful for us, again, if we kind of do it in slow motion and think through what's happening. The visual aid's perfect for us, really. When we're trying to disobey God, how much does it cost us to walk up to the end of the pier, to reach down in our pockets and pay the fare that is required? Sometimes the fare, the cost to be driven further into disobedience, can be a friend, a new friend. It could be a bad influence in our life. It could be a job. Maybe a job is the fare that we pay. It could be a computer or a form of entertainment, a theology, a tradition, or a habit, a place. You could see it as a compromise or an allowance of something that can later lead to sinful things. Paying the fare can be a lot of things. And it's a good spiritual inventory and a good exercise for us to meditate on verse 3 and ask yourself the question, have I paid the fare in my life? Have I paid the fare in the past? Have I done something in my life that is progressing me further toward rebellion against God? What is the fare? Well, what are some of the ways that we might say that we've paid the fare in our society? We can see a lot of ways that we've paid the fare in our society by abandoning the gospel, by abandoning the church in so many different ways. One way that has kind of stood out in some of our conversations from today is abandoning the Sabbath day is a certain way we've paid the fare. We thought at the time that it seemed like a good idea, but it's really led us into terrible places as a society. That's paying the fare. We've relaxed our morals. That's another way that we've paid the fare as a society. We've abandoned the Word of God. We've abandoned the Ten Commandments. Voting for a particular president can be paying the fare, because that can lead us down the road into further sin. Choosing your forms of entertainment can be paying the fare. Taking a job in a place where there is no church, that could be paying the fare. Choosing a profession that calls you to compromise your morals can be paying the fare. In fact, we come up to a time in the year where many Christians will see a particular day of the year as high and holy. One particular day at the end of the year, and you know the day that I speak of. Well, in a certain sense, that has become a dangerous thing in the church. Is that a paying of the fare? Has compromising our holy days led us to a place further down the road to sin? Maybe celebrating non-Sabbath holy days is a paying the fare. The fare that we are talking about today is costly. It requires something great from us. Let's ask then, how much did it cost Jonah to go to Nineveh, or to go away from Nineveh to Tarshish? How much was the journey to Tarshish? How much did it cost? You said that it might have been a high cost, both physically but also spiritually. Why would anyone want to pay such a high fare? Why would Christians want to do this? And I thought it would be helpful for us to make a few observations about the fare for sin today and how much it truly cost us. Let's look first. I'm going to add a couple to your outline there. I think you have five. I'm going to add a couple at the end. First of all, the fare for sin is unreasonable. Whatever Jonah paid may have been a fair amount to travel to Tarshish, but the amount that Jonah paid was unreasonable. or what he got from it from a spiritual perspective. Jonah had radically departed from God. He was defying all logic and good sense, all of the clear signs that had told him to go to Nineveh. It's unreasonable. Sin is unreasonable. It defies the clear and perfect word of God. Why would a Christian pay the fare? Why would a Christian pay the fare? It is an unreasonable thing for us. The unreasonableness of the fare is that it drives us away from the means of grace. It drives us away from the Word. And it harms the church. It harms our family. Anytime we entertain anything that will drown our spiritual thoughts or push us away from any accountability that we have from God, those are unreasonable things. Take away from this text that sin is unreasonable. What Jonah did in our text causes us to shake our head. Sin is unreasonable. Now, those things that could be the unreasonable things in our lives could be the ships that carry us away from God. Well, the price we pay for that ship is the fare. But as we'll see today, that the fare is much higher than we can imagine. It's much higher than Jonah knew. There are many hidden costs. It is unreasonable. It is foolish. Secondly, the fare for sin is demanding. It's ruthless. The demand of this fare is one that is almost never ending. In paying for the fare, those things that draw us away from God, they demand so much more than what we expect at first. When we give, when we pay the fare, sin takes more. The fare grows. It increases. It is demanding. And whatever we expect to gain from sin, it actually costs us more than we expect. For the man willing to pay the fare, he often finds that his sin continues to withdraw, so that the fare becomes an ongoing, permanent account. And the sins that sometimes we get ourselves into by paying the fare, we'll pay for throughout our lives. For our society, the price of admission that we have paid has meant a continual sliding down away from God, away from the morals of society that are described in the Scriptures. What we find is that the fare demands more than what we were actually willing to pay. Now, here's the irony of the fare. The irony is that Satan makes it appear to be free. Satan makes those things that are most dangerous to us seem to have no cost. Things that seem to be innocent can actually be deadly. Satan makes the things that are most dangerous to have a cost that is concealed. Satan makes the cost to be invisible for a reason, because he knows the cost is much greater than what you would want to pay. Not only can the fare seem to be invisible, but sometimes the fare seems like a bargain. The church has done this, has been guilty in ages past and even in our own day. Something as simple as singing a hymn in church or a paraphrase of the psalm. It may have seemed like a really good idea at the time, but in abandoning the psalms, God's word was abandoned. This was a deception. God's people were fooled. The fare was paid. And it wasn't free. It was costly. And when you look out on the devastating landscape of the church in our day, where churches are so much like the world, where churches fall and are filled with ungodly people, what were the fares that were paid to get us to that point? We're very blessed today. And I want you to see this in our text. We're very blessed today that God's Word reminds us that we must pay the fare to travel to Tarshish. Did you think those words were accidentally in the text? We are graciously reminded that there's a cost that there's a fair. God's word, then, is saying, in opposed to Satan's lie, God's word is continually reminding us that there's a cost for sin. Whereas Satan says, there's no cost. Thirdly, we see that the fair for sin is disrespectful. The fair for sin is disrespectful. When the fair is called for, it cares nothing for the will of God. It has no concern for the law of God or for the well-being of the church or for the kingship of Christ or for the family or for your character. It only wants to be paid. Its only purpose is to give you passage on to greater sin. When the fair is demanded, my friends, it should be an insult to us. Why would paying the fare be an attractive thing for a Christian who is a child of the living God in the kingdom of Jesus Christ? It should be an insult to you whenever Satan holds the fare out to the Christian. It insults our faith. It insults our God. And the very idea that we would pay that cost to disobey God should be insulting to us. How much stronger we would be if we continually watched for the fares that the world asks us to pay. My friends, we are continually and constantly bombarded by demands to pay the fare for sin. It's all around us. Watch TV. Watch a commercial. Look at the things that the world asks you to do. And what do Christians do? Often, you and I, we can't wait to pay the fare fast enough. In the forms of entertainment that we like, in the way that we worship, in the people that we idolize, in the places that we go, how often are we paying the fare? We have no understanding of doing such a thing because we're so much like the world. It almost seems in our text that Jonah just paid the fare without even thinking about it. That's a good warning to you and I today. That we should be being careful about paying the fare. It's an insult to Jesus Christ. Fourthly, the fare for sin is progressive. The fare for sin is progressive. Jonah felt like he must pay the fare because he already paid so much. Isn't that interesting? In the steps of sin, by the time you get to step 5, you've already invested quite a bit in your sin. It's a good point for a Christian to know that sometimes the further we get into sin, the harder it is to give up what we've invested. Jonah had already disobeyed God 4 steps into his process. He'd already invested time. He'd already invested money in the trip to get to Joppa. The more we invest in our disobedience, the more precious that it becomes to us. Worldly possessions that draw us away from God will have a value on them that will weigh upon the soul. Their value at times, and this is the way we think when we sin, but their value will seem too great to lose. The fare for sin is progressive. The fare for sin, fifthly, is revealing. It tells us something about ourselves. The things that we're willing to do, the things that we're willing to pay as we stray from God. Now, often we're ashamed when we look back and we see the things that we have done as we reflect on those. But paying the fare reveals the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The fare for sin is revealing. How much are you willing to pay today? What kind of a fare would you pay? Is there a fare that's too much? Are there fares that will take you towards sin that are acceptable to you? Is there an outer suburb of Joppa that seems more attractive than downtown Joppa? The fare can be tempting. In fact, there will be times when we stand contemplating that ship that is in the harbor. Maybe that ship is headed to a place that is waiting for us far away. The fare is waiting to be bought. And it's tempting just to get on the boat and just to run away from the cares of the world or the responsibilities or the troubles that we've gotten ourselves into. My friends, today, if we would just obey God, we would turn and we would gain a great victory. Christian, maybe you stand at the harbor today. Maybe the money is in your hand and the breeze is at your back and the ship looks pretty inviting. We must see that our resistance is in that particular moment. Our resistance is based on Christ, because Christ is our hope. And I would point you, if you are at this place, I would point you to see the temptation of Jesus Christ. He is tempted by Satan to sin, and he rebukes Satan. Christ is not willing to pay the fare that is demanded by Satan. That is our hope today, that Christ was not willing to pay the fare. You will be willing to pay the fare. I will be willing to pay the fare. Our hope is that Christ was not. That Christ did not. The demand for a fare reveals who we are. Sixthly, the fare for sin, and this is the one to add to your notes, the fare for sin is bold. It's bold. Jonah was bold. Those willing to pay the fare are bold. Consider the boldness that it took to walk up on that pier and pay that fare that day. Jonah didn't sneak onto the ship. He didn't wait for the cover of darkness. He didn't achieve passage by deceit. He didn't force himself onto the ship. He walks right up to the ticket booth and he pulled out his money and he did it in front of God and everyone else. His heart was so bent towards sin that his morality was severely compromised. Christian, so it will be for you if you become bold in your sin. Seventhly, the fare for sin is generational. Those willing to pay the fare, they also pay the fare for future generations. The things that we do, the sins that we commit today will impact our children and our grandchildren. Fathers, never underestimate the impact that your paying the fare will have upon the ones that you love. Our sin brings suffering to the family, to the church. And those willing to pay the fare may be willing to pay the price of admission for sin for themselves. But are you willing to admit your family and your church? Is the fare worth it? We'll see in the story of Jonah as we go forward. His fellow shipmates, they gained nothing but trouble from Jonah. Let's close by considering the ultimate cost of our sin. What is the ultimate wage of sin? What was the fare that Jonah paid? One commentator says, "The pleasures of sin are dearly bought, never last, and always bring disappointment." How true that the sins that we enjoy are dearly bought. We do pay a high price for sin in this life, but the true price for sin, the ultimate cost of sin, and this is what I want you to remember as you go away from here today, the ultimate cost for sin was Christ Jesus dying upon a cross for it. Whatever pain in this life that we're willing to pay for sin, Christ's death was a cost higher than we can conceive. Whatever sacrifice that we are willing to give, Christ's death was the ultimate price for sin. You see, Christ is the wage of sin. Christ is the fare. Christ is the fare. Christ is the fare for sin. And I wonder if you and I ever stop to think of the great cost of sin as we stand on the dock with our money in hand and the world points to the sign that shows us the cost of admission. Satan will never tell you that Christ's death was the cost for sin. Satan will never tell you that. He will never tell you the true fare. He will never tell you that the wages of sin is Christ's death. The ultimate cost of our sin is the death of Christ. We say in question 44 of our catechism, how did Christ execute the office of a priest? Christ executed the office of a priest in His once offering Himself, a sacrifice without spot to God, to be reconciliation for the sins of His people, and in making continual intercession for them. Let's be encouraged in our text today to break the chain of disobedience. We don't have to come to step 5 in our sins against God. And wherever that you might find yourself to be on that path today, turn to Christ. Repent. The sins of omission, if those sins are plaguing your life, as they were for Jonah, because Jonah was being plagued by sins of omission, cling to Christ. Treasure His commands. And find your hope in the fact that Christ never committed a sin of omission. Brethren, let's learn from God's Word today that Jonah taking money and paying the fare was so much greater than simply buying a ticket. He was consenting to and accepting the far-reaching consequences of sin. Let's be aware of the great cost of sin today. Let's be encouraged to love and to give glory to Christ who gave Himself that He might pay the debt of our sin. To God be the glory for the great things that He has done in our redemption. And my friends, today, if you don't know this Christ, then consider all the fares that you have paid in your life. And consider how far that you are from God. Your whole life you've spent running from God. Only Christ can bring you back again. Only Christ has paid the ultimate price for sin. There is only salvation in Christ, the one who never paid the fare, who Himself became the fare so that you and I might be saved. It's encouraging for us today to think of the perfect obedience of Christ. He never paid the fare, but He became it. Let's be encouraged on toward the work that God has given us. Let's labor to avoid sojourning in Joppa. Let's walk with God, not too close to the line as we see that Joppa represents. May God grant us wisdom as we walk through this world so that we will know and be aware of the true cost for sin. Let's know the fare. Let's see it when it's offered to us, and let's refuse it because it isn't worth the cost. Let's stand and pray. Our Father in heaven, we confess to You today that the world is so very attractive to us. We are so drawn toward it that it deceives us quite easily at times. We pray that You would make us wise, that we might see the deceptions of sin, that we might call the fare to be foolish. Bless us this day as we make applications from Your Word that is before us, all for the sake of Christ. In His name we pray. Amen. Amen.